Jonah was a prophet. He was a man with a great ministry. He spoke the word of God, and God used him to change a whole city. This man experienced miracles in his life. You would think that a man, perhaps with that kind of experience, might move beyond the struggles that ordinary Christians have. But the book of Jonah tells us something different.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. So, Colin, that begs the question, what does the book of Jonah tell us?
It tells us that even if you are a preacher, you still have struggles in your own heart. And that was revealed when God called Jonah to do something different from what he loved.
You know, we're calling this series on Jonah, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life. And so often, at least for me, you tend to think of, well, it's the unbelievers who are avoiding this God-centered life. But as you point out in this series, it's something that every Christian can struggle with.
Yeah, that's right. We become used to what we're doing for the Lord. Jonah had a ministry in Gath Hepher, become comfortable in what he was doing. This is my service, you know, this is my role. And God says to him, well, now that I've got something else for you to do. Then it becomes very apparent that Jonah actually wants to control his life much more than he wants to release it to the authority of God.
Well, we're going to see that today from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, the first 3 verses. So I hope you'll open your Bible and join us there as we begin the message, Resist God's Call to Something New. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, most of us, I realize, know the story of Jonah pretty well. If you are not familiar with it, let me rehearse its outline. A man by the name of Jonah was called by God to go and preach in a pagan city. He did not like the idea, so he got on a ship and went in the opposite direction. The ship sailed into a storm, and Jonah was thrown overboard. Then God rescued Jonah in a most remarkable way by providing a saving fish. I love the savior fish that delivered this man's life from certain death. And God provided the savior fish, which when Jonah began to pray, the fish conveniently spat him out on the beach. And Jonah then decided that he really ought to do what God had told him to do. So he went to Nineveh, preached the word of God. The people there repented of their sins and were saved from an imminent judgment that was to come. It's a great story. And most of us, I think, already know it very well. What I hope that we will discover over these 8 weeks is that it is so much more than a story. I want to set some expectations and for you to know what's in my mind as we come to this part of the Bible and for us to be looking for certain things together. Here's the first. There are three. Number one, as we come to this part of the Bible, please expect to see yourself in Jonah. This is a book about the unraveling of a believing man's inner life. It shows us how a man or a woman can be serving God, but under the surface there is a battle going on in your heart. Jonah loves God, but he also struggles with God. And even just saying that, you may quickly say, you know, I think I recognize that. I think I know something about that in my own life. This book then, perhaps uniquely, gives a window on the spiritual conflict that goes on inside a Christian believer. Now remember, Jonah was a prophet. He was a man with a great ministry. He spoke the word of God, and God used him to change a whole city. This man experienced miracles in his life. You would think that a man, perhaps with that kind of experience, might move beyond the struggles that ordinary Christians have. But the book of Jonah tells us something different. It's very fascinating. At the end of the book, even after the miracle of being saved by the fish, even after the triumph of a whole city turning in repentance towards God, even after all these miracles and being used in such a singular way by God, you find that this man, Jonah, is angry. He's dissatisfied with his life, and he is out of sorts with God. Now, that takes us into a surprising truth. That those who throw themselves most fully into the service of Jesus Christ often experience inner conflict more intensely than others. When you get into the heart of spiritual conflict in ministry, like Jonah was, you will find more inner struggle, not less. Read the lives of any of the great saints of history, any of the great Christian leaders. Read the life of a man like Augustine or Martin Luther. And you will find, as you read the lives of great Christians, that they experienced intense struggle in their inner lives, more intense than many others. So this is a great book for missionaries, for Christian leaders, for anyone who is surprised at the intensity of your own inner struggle as you are serving Jesus Christ. And by the way, let's get this clearly in our minds, that if in these coming weeks you become more deeply committed to Jesus Christ, expect that your inner struggles will increase, not decrease. The more useful you are to our Lord, the more you will experience intense struggles in your inner life. And that is just one reason why we need to pray in a special way for missionaries, for pastors, and for all who are on the front line of the work of evangelism. So this is a fascinating book because Jonah explores the inner life of a mature Christian believer at the center of extraordinary ministry. Now I have to tell you that as I have looked into the book of Jonah and pondered it, preparing this series, as I look at Jonah, I see myself. And I think as we move into the book, you're going to see yourself too. So that's the first thing. Expect to see yourself in this man and in this remarkable book of the Bible. Here's the second thing. Expect to be disturbed by God's passion for the world. You see, that's really what happened to Jonah. So we're going to see that this man actually had a very successful, comfortable life worshiping and serving God. He had a well-established, recognized, and much appreciated ministry among the people of God. And then at one point in his life, God came to him and said, Jonah, I want you to go and minister to people of another race, people who speak another language, people who live in another country, and I want you to go because they matter to me as much as you do. And at that point, Jonah's life was revealed, and he discovered just how selfish he really was, even while he was engaged in a ministry of God's word. Many Christians and many churches can exist comfortably for a long time with an inward-looking faith. You know, God is there for me. God is here for us. And nothing is more disturbing to a comfortable faith or a comfortable church than God's passion for the world. God called Jonah to leave the people and the life that he loved in order to reach the people with the life of God because God loved these other people in Nineveh also. And God's call to something new really revealed the degree to which Jonah was ruled by selfishness in his own heart. So this book is deeply disturbing. Expect to discover some things that are uncomfortable about yourself in this book, because God's passion for lost people can turn a Christian believer upside down. And God's passion for lost people can turn a church, even a church like this, upside down. Here's the third expectation. Expect to be surprised by just how much God cares for his own servants. It's a wonderful theme in Jonah. Think about it this way. Of all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the minor prophets, the prophets are all about God's message. But this book uniquely is about God's man. Now that tells us something very important, which is that God cares not only about his work, but also about his workers. God cares not only about his mission, but also about his missionaries. If God cared only about his work, he could have ditched Jonah and got someone else to do the work for him. But God cares about Jonah. That's why he patiently perseveres with Jonah and never gives up on him. God cares about you even more than the work you're doing for him. Some of us get the idea that God really is interested in whatever service we offer, but does God really care about us? God cares about you more than the work you're doing for him. It's a great lesson from the book of Jonah. In fact, it's interesting, isn't it, that in God's mercy, a whole city, a vast pagan city with thousands of people in Nineveh, was saved from judgment. These people turned in repentance towards God. There was this great revival and so forth. And yet, actually, what happened in Nineveh gets relatively little attention in the book. Why? Because the book's not really about God's work in Nineveh. The book is about God's work in Jonah. God's presence, God's patience, God's perseverance, God's fatherly care over a troubled, mixed-up servant who experienced so many inner conflicts in his own life. God cares about Jonah. Cares about you.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled Resist God's Call. Now we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to this message in just a moment. The message is from a larger series all about how to avoid a God-centered life, really a deep dive into the book of Jonah. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store, or order a copy of this series on CD. Ask about how to avoid a God-centered life when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Well, now, I've given the series the unusual title, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life, and I chose that because I really think that is what Jonah was doing, not just at one moment in his life when he got on the ship and went to Tarshish, but actually that he was avoiding God for a very large part of his life. The reason that I say that is that not only was Jonah running from God at the beginning of the story, chapter 1 and verse 3, but when you go over to chapter 4 at the end of the story, you find that he was arguing with God. So running from God at the beginning, arguing with God at the end. And even after God has used him to evangelize this pagan city with extraordinarily wonderful results, he is still out of sorts with God. Now, that raises an interesting question. The book ends with Jonah still arguing with God. So when did he write this book? Because I'm working on the assumption that you cannot write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit while you're in the process of arguing with God, right? So I'm making the assumption that Jonah wrote this book later in his life as an older man, reflecting on the course of his days and the great patience and perseverance of God with him. And that what he's saying to us is really this. Look at my life story. What people perhaps know about me was that God used me in a remarkable way to bring revival to the pagan city of Nineveh. But I want to tell you the real story. The real story of my inner life is that I honestly, even while I was serving God and preaching God's word, I was actually avoiding God, the God I purported to serve. And I want you to know that I spent a large part of my life doing that, and I want to tell you this story so that you will not do the same. The great irony of Jonah's life is that while he was preaching the word of God, he was actually avoiding the call of God. And the story is written so that he is able to say, don't live your life like that. Because although God used me so very wonderfully, what was going on inside of me, it's not where you want to be. So that's the reason for this unusual title. Now, I'd like you to turn to just one cross-reference here today, and that's back in the second book of Kings. The second book of Kings. Chapter 14. And it's the one place in the Bible outside of the book of Jonah where we learn a little more about this man. 2 Kings chapter 14. If you brought your Bible and you're marking up as we're going through, you've got a little touch in Kings here, and you're going to get a little touch, or we're going to get a little touch in Nahum in a few moments' time as well. 2 Kings 14:23. You notice that Jonah's ministry is dated in the time of Jeroboam the second, who was king in the northern part, that's the northern part, Israel, where the 10 tribes were. He was around the years of 790 years before Christ to about 750 years before Christ. And verse 24, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, that king. But there was one good thing that happened during his reign. And that's in verse 25. He, Jeroboam the second, was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of Arabah. So boundaries are restored. The promised land is extended back to its full boundaries. And this restoration happened, verse 25, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. So Jonah is introduced here in Kings as one of the spiritual leaders of his day. He is introduced, notice the words, as God's servant Jonah, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. Not just a prophet, as if he was one among many, but in his generation, he was the person who was known in Israel for bringing the word of God, and the prophecies that he brought were vindicated because they so wonderfully came true. In particular, everyone knew that Jonah was the guy who had publicly stated that God would restore the full borders of Israel during the time of Jeroboam. And this came true in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken through his servant Jonah. So here is a man then that is widely respected, recognized, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. This is a man who God's people esteem highly because he walks in the presence of God, ministers the word of God, is filled with the Spirit of God. He is God's servant, Jonah. He is the prophet from Gath-Hepher. I want you to get the sense of the profile, the esteem, the acclaim, the wonderful positive prophecy that this man brings, and the regard in which he is held as a spiritual leader among this great nation of people who are known by the name of the Lord. Now back to Jonah and chapter 1. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, the son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its great wickedness has come up before me. Now, it really is very hard for us to grasp how shocking this must have been for Jonah. See, in Jonah's lifetime, there was one world superpower that was the terror of all the nations around. That one world superpower was Assyria, the Assyrians. And they were known for their brutality. Nineveh was one of the great Assyrian cities. In fact, if you turn over just a few pages, get some yellow in the book of Nahum here. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice how he describes Nineveh. This is a woe to Nineveh. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 1. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, and never without victims. Now, can you imagine you're planning your vacation and you open your sunny vacation brochure and it says, come to Nineveh, you know, we have flights every day for your convenience. Come and visit us in the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, and never without victims. I don't think you're going to go there. And Jonah didn't want to go there either. Can you imagine the kind of struggle that this man is thrown into as God's word comes to him? This man who's highly esteemed, giving wonderfully positive prophecies to the people of God that come true and expand the borders of God. He's settled and happy in what he's doing in dear old Gath-Hepher, lovely country town. And suddenly, God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And the music stops in Jonah's life. Lord, I'm really happy in the ministry you've given me here, and it was you that called me to this ministry. Yes, I know, but I want you to go somewhere else. You want me to leave the ministry that I love? That's right. Where do you want me to go? Nineveh. Nineveh? That is in Assyria. There are terrorists and torturers there. What do you want me to say? You don't want me to tell them that their borders will be extended, do you? No, I want you to preach against that city. That's what they'll do to me if I preach against that city. Their wickedness has come up before me, God says. I'm not surprised, Lord. Everyone knows their wickedness. I'm glad you do. Why don't you judge them for it? Because if you judge them for it and take away the power from Assyria, all the nations around will be breathing a huge sigh of relief. They're our nightmare. Put yourself in Jonah's shoes. Successful ministry among God's people, known for prophesying good things like extending the borders of Israel. Good life, good work, good place. And now the word of the Lord disturbs this man's comfortable life. See, our culture says, live your dream. But our God disturbs our dreams.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a helpful look at what we can expect from the story of Jonah. We're going to continue this message next time, so I hope you'll join us. Our message is part of a series called How to Avoid a God-Centered Life. And if you want to find out more about today's message or this series, come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station, make the podcast, the app, and all the ministry tools available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you a copy of Martin Lloyd-Jones's book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Its Cure. And Colin, who is Martin Lloyd-Jones and why should we read this book?
Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones is one of my favorite preachers and writers of all time. By wide consensus, he was one of the greatest preachers in the 20th century. He's with the Lord now, but we have the legacy of his writings that are certainly among my treasured possessions. Spiritual Depression is his best book. It's my favorite book of all the many that he wrote. I'm actually on my third copy of this now, Steve. I bought my first copy in 1976, the year I went to college. And I'm on my third copy now because the first two are just about falling apart. And so I'm delighted that we're able to offer a new edition of Spiritual Depression. It really is a spiritual classic. Lloyd-Jones was a medical doctor in London and a prestigious medical doctor, very successful in London before he became a pastor. But he felt the calling of God into Christian ministry and became an expositor of the Word of God. But you can see the way in which he uses his background as a medical doctor, applying skills of diagnosis and prescription. So the subtitle here, The Causes and Cure of Spiritual Depression. And chapter after chapter, he just goes through one cause after another for darkness and discouragement that comes into the experience of a Christian believer. So I think folks will find as you read through this that sometimes you'll say, well, that's something I recognize, but it's not where I'm at now. You keep reading and then you get to a place where you say, oh, that's exactly where I am now. And he has diagnosed that precisely. Now, what's he going to say about the cure? It's a wonderfully, wonderfully encouraging book. And there's a reason why I've been going back to it for more than 40 years and will continue to do so.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, Spiritual Depression, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org, or you can call 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365, or visit the website openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Doctrine. Watch Your Doctrine is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders, but accessible for every believer. The 6 sessions will introduce you to 6 central truths of the Christian faith: how we know God, how God speaks to us, how sin affects us, how God's Spirit brings new life, how we're made right with God, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, or to begin this free online course, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.